This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening and welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Yeah, give me those trash can bangs. Give me them.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
You got me off the tidy whities, Michael. It was because of you.
Very true.
Now, in the open to that, Peter, when did you say I want to go chase the squalls? What does that mean?
Oh, wow. You weren't there that day for the squall.
Oh, I wasn't? Okay.
It was.
I want to go chase the squall.
It's when there was a squall.
Okay.
Do you know what a squall is?
We saw it coming. We were in the studios, and like it was a beautiful day, right, Peter? And then all of a sudden, it just... A storm just, like, blew through. And
he wanted to go chase it.
Yeah.
Well, because we didn't get to see it, and everyone's posting pictures and saying how exciting the squall is, and I just felt the need to chase it.
Gotcha.
Understood. I want to go chase the squall. On,
nice shirt.
Who?
Me?
Wardrobe change for Michael.
You got to get ready for the game.
You're a professional. Wait, but are you shown on television?
Yeah, the start.
Oh, wow. I guess that makes sense.
I guess he hasn't watched many Yankee games, huh, Don?
You've only done one.
I mean, my whole life?
No, I meant this season. Come on. Mike, Don, was that unreasonable?
Because usually you do a stand-up with the backdrop of the building in which you're calling the game. You can't do that in this situation.
But we're a first-class organization, though. We wear jackets and ties, no matter how hot it is.
Oh, but you just said you're going to be on television.
You're going
to do a stand-up before the game.
We are.
Why?
Because we're doing the game.
But usually when you do a stand-up, you're standing up to show the game you're about to call.
Yeah, but everybody knows exactly the situation everybody's in. So as long as we're on camera, we have to be dressed up.
I think Peter and I are just questioning the direction of having you do a stand-up.
Okay.
Right, Peter?
No, I didn't say that.
Seems like it's kind of Tonka truck. That's my opinion.
I didn't say it was Tonka. Well, that it's Tonka truck for him to do a stand-up? He has to do the welcome. I mean, he's the host of the show.
How would you like us to open the show, Don?
With a shot of Camden Yards and you talking over, welcome to Camden Yards. This is the game tonight between the Yankees and the Orioles.
Well, there will be a shot of Camden Yards. And then they come to me, and people know that announcers aren't allowed to travel. So, I mean, David and I have to be on camera. To establish, it's called an establishing shot.
Right, but you're establishing nothing.
No, but leading into that shot of me, there will be a shot of Camden Yards in Baltimore. It will be articulated. Don't worry. I know you'll be watching DeGrom. You should be watching Garrett Cole.
Actually, I'll be watching the Blackhawks because I gotta scout them. So the Blackhawks are playing the Blues. I'll be on that.
Wow, really? Skipping DeGrom and Cole.
I mean, yeah, I can.
You're really going to help
our
show tomorrow.
I can walk and chew gum at the same time.
So the discussion comes up how DeGrom and Cole did last night, you'll say, I don't know, but the Blackhawks were great. What a power play.
So you just ignore what I said, that I can multitask, that I can follow two things at once. It's not 1978. We're not rolling out the black and white. Pop on the TV, gather around the house. Hey, Ma, change the channel.
For those just tuning in, it's been a great show. There have been some rough moments, and Don and Michael have sort of been going at it since Don did the list of top Canadian rock acts of all time.
Because it's Geddy Lee's birthday. I was being topical. You're not well-read. I can't help that. And Michael has been the guy that has done that. He was out from the very beginning, even though it was a layup to say Rush won since it's Geddy Lee's birthday. He hadn't tried. He completely gives the tone that he's mailing in the last one standing. That way, if he loses, it's like, well, he didn't try. He didn't care.
No, I wanted to get that last one, but I also felt, I mean, let's lift the curtain here. I think it was irresponsible for us to be in a game show when a big story was breaking. That's all. So it was beneficial for me. Wait a minute. It was beneficial for me to miss that question, but I didn't miss it on purpose. I wanted to get it right. I hate you today.
But your attitude from the get-go. Michael, are you ready?
Yeah.
Am I wrong, Peter? Help me out here. Am I on an island by myself?
No, you're not. Not in that regard.
What are you, a silent partner?
No. What? I've been attacking him as well. And I will say one thing that Don has said a few times that I think is unfair. Don accused both Michael and I of being not well-read. Now, in my case, it's true. In Michael's case, it's not true. And I don't think the only standard for being well-read is reading a lot about Canadian rock. I don't think that's fair.
Don, you know I love you. I've been on the record, I would never do the show if they got rid of you. Now, if you left for a great opportunity, then I would continue on. That was the worst top five list you've ever done.
Because it's based on your level of interest. I can't come up with top
five. But I think that I'm
you and Peter engaged.
Although they look at it as you being every man, I think I'm every man. I believe that I think we saved it by mocking it, but nobody cared. Nobody knew a Canadian rock band that listens to the show.
I got text and Twitter.
Friends of yours.
No, but I got
like-minded people.
I got Twitter people that were making guesses. People enjoy these lists. But you're out because you're just not a music fan.
Now, listen, guys, we should talk some about sports here during ENN because there's a lot going on in the world. If you're just tuning in, or maybe ENN's the only portion of the show you get to listen to, and you think it's the best portion, which a lot of people would agree with you, then I need to tell you that Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly has been handed an 8-game suspension by Major League Baseball. That would be the equivalent of basically a 22-game suspension if this was a regular season. And, of course, we saw the incident last night. He threw a fastball behind Alex Bregman's head and then taunted Carlos Correa. The bench is cleared. There was no fight. But, obviously, Rob Manfred has wanted to avoid players inflicting their own justice on the Astros. And he's also wanted to avoid players on opposing teams coming too close to each other. Last night, all those things happened. And the result is an 8-game suspension for Joe Kelly.
New York Met Marcus Stroman has chimed in.
I call him Stro.
Stro has chimed in. Ken Rosenthal, in his tweet, announced the suspension. And Stroman goes, "Makes zero sense, Ken. He wasn't even thrown out of the game. MLB siding with protecting a team that openly and knowingly cheated their way to a World Series. He doesn't deserve to be suspended at all. Hoping he wins his appeal. Looking forward to seeing you back out there, JK." Now, I believe that he should have been suspended. 8 games is just ridiculous. If you suspended him for 2 games, I could have taken it. I understand it. But why weren't the people that broke the protocol and came out on the field when they weren't allowed to? Why aren't they not suspended?
And why does Joe Kelly have to be the villain here on why they did that? Like, he incited a brawl. Well, I would think every Astro knew eventually this was going to come. Bregman did not charge the mound. So those guys decided to leave the dugout. Hey, they did it on their own.
Yep.
They're responsible big boys. They didn't have to come out. If the conversation, we think the conversation was, tone it down. Like, don't get crazy. Just take your medicine, because I think that's what Bregman's attitude. Then everybody came out. Now, there were words thrown out and all that. I get it, Michael, but shouldn't they be responsible? So now Joe Kelly's going to have to be the bad guy. And he serves the punishment. Meanwhile, the ultimate bad guys walk away. Bad guys win. I think there was a book about that.
It's awful. It's just a terrible look. And other than people in Houston who are, just almost sick about the defense of the Astros, where they can't see the forest for the trees, everybody is against the suspension. They think it's ridiculous. And it is. It's too much. And he's appealing. Well, who's he appealing to? He's appealing to people that suspended him. You think he's going to change a lot? Maybe it goes down to 6 or 7.
It's incredible.
Well, we will see how things play out, and if it will be the end, or if someone else is still willing to take a risk. And what happens if someone does something that maybe is taking a little bit of a shot, but nothing as glaring as what Joe Kelly did? So It'll be interesting. I personally, as just a baseball fan, I'm sort of excited to see something going on that gets us talking about something besides COVID. Now, speaking of COVID, a big piece of the New York Giants has opted out. And it's probably one, if we'd really thought about it, if we'd gone through the list of players on the two local teams, probably something we would have predicted would have been Nate Solder. And the tackle, who the Giants paid an exorbitant amount of money for, has opted out. The biggest protection for Daniel Jones will not play in the 2020 season because of the coronavirus. He just had a newborn baby. He's a cancer survivor himself. He had testicular cancer back in 2014. And, of course, we know this because we've talked to him about it, and everybody knows it because it's so dear to his heart. His five-year-old son, Hudson, has a rare tumor, was diagnosed with a rare tumor at a very young age, and has dealt with his own cancer treatments throughout his young life. So Nate Solder, probably wisely and certainly understandably, has decided to opt out of the Giants season.
I mean, this is a sport, I gave the stat yesterday, 70% of the sport is either too big, has underlying conditions, or African Americans. I mean, all of those are strikes against you when you're trying to battle this. And I think you're going to see the numbers grow. I think that the Marlins have had a great effect on everybody in professional sports. I think everybody is looking at that and go, there but for the grace of God go I. And they're afraid. People are afraid. And more so the Marlins, what's happening with Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox. Totally healthy guy. 28-year-old athlete. He gets it, beats it, returns, and then finds out that he has an infection around the heart, myocarditis, which is caused directly by having COVID-19. So, I mean, this virus affects people in different ways, and it can affect you. So, yeah, maybe it's 1 out of 1,000 in professional athletes that are going to have a situation like Eduardo Rodriguez. But that one, if it's you, it's a big one. It can't just be dismissed.
Now, I think the Giants will get, like, close to $10 million cap relief for this, so I guess they could, if they want, use
who's
that
out
to
there
sign. I don't know, I mean, but they can use it to try to I think they're going to go with their first round pick anyway, but they could use that to their benefit. But who else is going to opt out? And like I asked Trey earlier, if like Eli decided not to retire, he would probably opt out, right? 38 years old, pocket quarterback, just lost his starting left tackle. He might not have decided to opt out because of COVID. He might have decided to opt out because I don't want to get killed.
It's unbelievable.
You want to talk about the other quarterback in town for a second, guys?
Sure, that's Sam Darnold.
I'm so glad you know his name. That is correct. Sam Darnold defended his head coach, Adam Gase, after the Jamal Adams saga. Let's hear from Sam.
He's the right leader for this team, for sure. I think, for me personally, he's helped me grow a ton as a quarterback and learning this offense. And, you know, I just think throughout the weeks, you know, leading up to games, he does everything that he possibly can to put us in the best position to win on Sundays. And, you know, that's from my experience with Coach Gase. And, you know, I've had nothing but positive experiences with him so far.
I mean, what do we expect him to say? I believe he truly believes that. But imagine if he said, yeah, I agree with Jamal Adams.
No, he just says, you know what, love Jamal. Or maybe he just wears a shirt that says hashtag Team Jamal.
Yeah.
But Sam has said that from the get-go. We asked him about it during the season when we were critical of Gase. He's going to say all the right things for sure. But I'm sure there's a lot of guys in that room that agree with Jamal. You're not going to be able to find a coach where everybody gets along with a coach, especially for a team that finished under 500.
Listen, Don, you know this. I mean, the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls. And you could find so many people that hate Belichick that played on those teams that have rings because of him. Football coach is not a loving position. I mean, it's people are going to hate you.
But when I guess it's semantics, but I think it's like that Vince Lombardi line, I don't need him to love me, I just need him to respect me. I think everybody respects Belichick. They may not like him, but they probably respect him. I think what Jamal was trying to send out there is he didn't respect Gase. I think there's a
difference. You know what? I think he did, though. That was his step to get out.
I think he made it up. But I think he was trying to send a message out there. But you know what? If you were to, especially on losing teams, even if Jamal didn't leave, even if he loved Gase and said so, I could probably find 10 guys on the Jets that don't like Gase.
Sure.
I mean, that was probably any team, especially now where players are emboldened to speak up. You look what happened to Thibodeau in Minnesota, right? I mean, I think that's going to happen. You're always, especially when a losing season or a coach that leaves, everybody's going to throw him under the bus.
At some point, Don, you're going to have to learn how to start pronouncing the new head coach's name right. Seems like you've just been struggling.
How do you do it again, Pete?
If you really...
Thibodeau.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I have some breaking news.
Real breaking news?
Yeah. Rick DiPietro just texted me, said he came across a beautiful Michael Dukakis garden gnome if Peter is interested for the basement.
You know, that would fit perfectly.
By the way.
Perfectly. It's such an eclectic shelf of presidents, right?
But there's no
Dukakis lost. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I was going to say that
while you were doing your research on Canadian rock bands, you might have, you know.
Well, I mean,
there's no picture of Mondale. There's no
Mondale would have been a better choice than Dukakis. I mean,
in terms of big time Democrat losers, I'd like you to power rank McGovern, Mondale, Dukakis.
I think Dukakis has to be. No, I mean, didn't McGovern lose every race?
Yes, I think McGovern's won.
He got one step. It's got to be McGovern number one, Dukakis number two, because of that dumb shot in the tank.
The tank.
Mondale three?
Mondale three.
And then where do you put John Kerry? Four? Just a four.
Yeah, four.
I think that's the only list that makes sense.
Yeah.
These are of my lifetime, of course. Al Gore, I'm not even putting on the list.
Because you don't even think he lost. I know you.
That is correct.
even without the hanging chads, he was right there.
Yeah, he was neck and neck. I mean, he's 50 million, whatever it was.
I think Dukakis was Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
That's sure. Right.
And so I think that was, usually, with the exception of Trump, you win your state.
That's correct, generally speaking. Dukakis, I think, may have covered I think Dukakis had a few. Let me look up. This is important. How many electoral votes do you guys think Michael Dukakis had?
12.
Don, you want to go high? I'm going over.
No, I'm going to go less because I...
Well, how many electoral votes does Massachusetts have?
I'll say 10. No, I mean 10 overall. No, Massachusetts probably has, 6?
You guys are all wrong. George Bush carried 40 states. That leaves a big 10 plus D.C., for Michael Dukakis.
Yeah,
picking up 111 electoral votes. You guys are fools, the both of you.
You know what? I am a fool because I thought you meant your parents' guy McGovern.
McGovern was nothing.
Nothing.
Maybe one. I think did he cover
McGovern had 17 electoral votes, 14 Massachusetts, 3 DC.
What about Mondale?
It's a tough outing. It's not what you want.
It's not what you want. That's what Joe Girardi said on the big post-election show.
Let's see. The Mondale. Do you guys want to make a prediction on this? Oof,
it
wasn't good.
I think
good.
He did better. I think he won more than 10 states.
Well, I got bad news. We got the power ranking wrong. McGovern would be 1. Mondale would be 2. 13 total electoral votes. I mean, you want to talk about a tough out. 525 for Reagan. 13.
Well, what are you saying we got it wrong? That was how I listed it.
But no, I thought we. But, no. But then we said we. But wait, that is how we listed it?
Yeah, Dukakis was third.
No, but Dukakis is 2. If you're going worst, I mean worst is best.
But here's
number 1 is McGovern, who got almost nothing.
You
got
to factor this in though, his opponent. I think that's why we look at Dukakis. Right?
The matchup is what you're talking about.
Because you got to look at the matchup, right? I mean, you weren't beating Reagan at that time.
No.
And you weren't beating Nixon at that time. But I think people thought that if you had a decent running mate, you might have been able to beat George Sr.
I mean, he only had one term.
He only had one time.
You're not talking about a powerhouse.
So is it possible?
But you didn't know at the time that he wasn't going to be a powerhouse.
But when you look at the matchup, does that change? Should Dukakis have done better?
Well, George Bush Sr. was a very respected guy. He was a vice president under
Reagan.
But he
was only one term.
But you didn't know that when he got elected.
I know, but looking back now, which we have the luxury of doing, he was very beatable.
I got to tell you, if there were some candidates out there in 88 who would have put up a much better showing than Dukakis, I was always one of the biggest Dick Gephardt guys in the biz.
Let's move back to sports, please.
This was fun, though. I enjoyed this.
Let's hear, you know what? I couldn't have a better segue. Joe Biden spoke today about the future of sports. He was asked about the likelihood of a baseball and football season.
Should there be sports right now, though? Should Major League Baseball go on?
Well, it seems to me that it's probably not going to be able to happen based on what the leagues themselves are saying. I mean, you have the Marlins saying, we can't do it. So many people. So I think they should just follow the science. The one thing that seems to work a little bit, I don't know, is basketball, where no one's traveling. They're all sequestered in one place.
So there you have it.
He might want to brush up a little bit more on his sports.
No, I thought that was a decent answer.
He got it right. I mean, he got it right. Got the Marlins right.
I don't know.
Nailed the Marlins. Nailed it. But also, what did he say that you disagree with?
Well, you're just saying what the leagues are saying. The leagues are saying they're moving on. Everything's good.
Ryan Clogley on Twitter goes, that brief list that Peter did on Dukakis and Mondale, better than Don LaGreca's obscure list by a long shot.
Wow. Well,
because you know, I'm well-read, and so I can handle it.
Why does knowing Canadian rock bands make you an Einstein? I don't get it.
I just think it's just you want to. I guess well-read is a bad phrase. Just be a little bit more well-rounded. Right.
Well-rounded.
Yes, I think well-rounded is probably the better way. Well-read is very insulting.
We both gave you Celine Dion. You didn't want that. We gave you Anne Murray. You didn't want that. Obscure headbanging groups.
The Guess Who? Headbanging?
I got
Neil
the Guess
Young.
Who.
Yeah, and I don't know if you pulled that or whether you got it off Twitter or somebody texted you.
No,
that was nice.
Thank you. Now, real quick, speaking of people who are diverse and have a well-rounded set of information, a man who knows a lot about the world, Kevin Harlan, doing some preseason NBA last night. He's, just so you know, he's talking about the most important thing in sports right now, and that would be the delicious wings that Lou Williams ate at that adult establishment.
I want to see how much pull we have in the city of Atlanta, see if we can get some of those chicken wings sent down here to Orlando. We could celebrate the restart with those wings.
Now, I like a wing, all right? I think we all do.
I love a wing.
I didn't start eating wings until like 12 years ago. Now I love them.
So now, glad you did.
In your mind's eye, Susan, you could probably picture the greatest wings you've ever had.
I can. Dinosaur barbecue right now.
Would you risk coronavirus for it?
No.
I have.
No, but you went and it was safe, right? You did.
Well, Don, real quick. What was it, Michael? It was 3 or 4 weeks into this thing, and I was ordering takeout from Dinosaur. I didn't hesitate.
But you weren't going. You weren't going into the establishment, sitting down.
No.
And eating. No.
Well, I still won't go inside and sit down and eat anywhere.
Good.
But you did it responsibly. You could go and eat your wings. As much as we've really thought outside the box, I haven't seen the curbside pick up for strip clubs.
Well, you know what the problem? Some might argue that Lou Williams wasn't thinking outside the box.
Wow.
We might have lost Don till Thursday.
That's a good thing.
Well, I mentioned Jamal Adams and Sam Darnold. The Seahawks plan, when it comes to that deal with Jamal Adams, to wait till next year to sign a long-term deal. That's according to Brady Henderson, not Anderson, of ESPN. They are reluctant to make a massive financial commitment right now.
Of who?
Jamal Adams.
Oh.
But the Seahawks, of course, got him in the trade over the weekend, sending two first-round picks, each of the next the first-round pick of the next 2 years to the Jets.
Is Brady Henderson a new hire for us? I'd never heard of him.
I've never heard of Brady Henderson.
Oh, I wish him the best of luck.
That is so nice of you.
I want people to do well.
Very close to Brady Henderson. It's going to be tough for me.
So he's going to have one big year.
That's right. A 50 home run, gigantic bicep kind of year for Brady Henderson.
And then never come close again. But I think our Brady's going to be fine.
But by the way, just so you know, I just want to be clear about this. Regardless of that 50 home run season, Brady Henderson was a star here. People, everyone knew Brady Henderson.
Okay, good. Anyway, Peter, we have to say goodbye to Yes in like 15.
You're not even done yet.
No, well, because you haven't been on TV. We have to say goodbye to Yes because the Yankee pregame or Yankee batting practice show first, then the pregame at 7, and the game time is at 7:30. Yankees and the Orioles, Gerrit Cole on the mound. But, Peter, please continue.
Thank you. Tua Tagovailoa has been cleared to participate in Dolphins practices. So
nice.
It's less than 9 months after the injury. He passed a physical, and he will be on the field without limitations starting next month. So Brian Flores excited to have him and also said that the rookie will have a chance to win the spot for Brian Fitzpatrick. Every position is an open competition, Coach Flores said.
Of course.
Chargers have locked up Joey Bosa with a monster deal. 5 years, $135 million for the defensive end, $102 million guaranteed, which is an NFL record for a defensive player, beating out Myles Garrett, who just got $100 million a couple weeks ago from the Browns.
Shows you how the world has changed. I saw a tweet yesterday that the late Alex Spanos bought the Chargers for $80 million.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. So look what one player gets now. Yeah, but buying a team, it's a bad investment, they'll tell you.
I have to buy one. I think it's totally worth the while.
Why don't you go in on the Met thing? Give Alex
Pippen
a call.
What did you say?
Go in on the Met deal. Give Alex a call.
Well, that's a good point. You know, J-Lo follows me on Instagram.
That would be an unbelievable thing for you, that you could be on a show where we can't get Met guests, and you could be one of the owners of the team.
You think Peter will be allowed on the show? We just couldn't interview Peter, ask Peter questions.
Do you think I could? Do you think J-Lo would respond oddly if I sent her a DM and said, "Hey, no, we don't talk much. Wondering if I could get down with this Mets deal?" Question.
Like, what kind of money you think? Like, if you scraped together everything you had, what could you put into the pot?
Everything I have, meaning also like what I could maybe borrow from some people, and
yeah, that it wouldn't ruin your life.
That it wouldn't ruin my life,
right?
$0.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
But, I mean, you're not setting fire to the money. You'd be part of a group that's buying the Mets.
Yeah, but
right, let's put it this way. You can get out on bail.
What do you mean?
What's the number in which you'd have to stay in jail?
Oh, I'm no good. You're not getting me out.
I don't know.
Me to just tell you my net worth on the radio? That's what you're asking for.
Would you feel comfortable, like if J-Lo answered your back, listen, Peter, if you want to be part of it, it might be fun. Put $1 million in. Could you do it?
I would need to get some help. I
just
need to
walk up the stairs right now. Ask Mindy. She's got it in a pocketbook.
She has some mints. She definitively has one of those miniature packages of tissues.
Oh, this is so exciting.
She has Tic Tacs, tissues, a checkbook, pictures of my niece and nephew, and maybe $600,000.
I got to tell you something, Don. I know that if I said this about you, it would upset you. When RJ plays that drop, she sounds really hot. She all really right. does.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Come on.
It's so wrong. You don't even realize what you're doing.
He knows
because
not what
you're
he
a wordsmith. I mean, I mean this as a compliment. When
words
you speak,
are weapons.
People, you paint a word picture.
Right.
So you really say things yet you like believe that. You believe he doesn't know what he's doing, Don? Come on. He knows exactly what he's doing. That's what
I don't think it's right
guy.
That we're envisioning what you're painting in our head about his mom.
I wasn't painting anything of the sort. I said she sounded hot.
All right, can we just move on? Yep. Lastly, Scottie Pippen says he has talked to Michael Jordan since The Last Dance aired and downplayed any sort of potential rift. He said, "Why would I be offended by anything that happened 30 years ago?"
I could give him a million reasons why.
Yeah, there were reports, of course, after the movie that Pippen was not happy with portrayal in the documentary. But he said, quote, "I wasn't upset about it." And because remember, they covered, of course, his refusal to enter Game 3 of the 94 Eastern Conference semifinals.
And they covered the fact that he waited to get surgery. It didn't make him look good. If he's not bothered by it, then he either has a very thick skin or he doesn't know what was said on the – or he's fibbing.
It didn't bother me at all, he said. It was an opportunity for our younger generation that hadn't seen or known anything about basketball in the 90s.
All right, so that younger generation that hadn't seen or known anything, right? Now what do they think of him?
Right. It wasn't like it added any value to what they already thought.
Yeah, in the words of Joe Girardi, in my opinion, it's not what you want. That'll do it for ENN on a Wednesday evening.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Really good one.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.